bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Photo Show from the British Tech Network. My name's Carl Madden. I'm your host for today, and joining me again this week is the Huey, Louie, and Dewey of our photographic world. Starting up with Mr. Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How are you doing, Chris?
Super fantastic.
I'm surprised you said that, actually, but there you go. Also joining us is Mr. Ewan Rankin. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good. Fine. Week. Busy, but you know how it goes. Doing lots of work lately for some reason.
Good man, good man.
Yourself?
Yeah, all right. Not too bad at all.
Good, good. And rounding out our little quartet is Alex G. Fox. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm going to sound even chirpier than Ewan, but not as chirpy as Chris.
Alex is going to sound chirpy, really?
No.
Chirper, no. Chirper, cheep, cheep.
Oh dear. So first of all, let's get the ball rolling. We've had just want to mention, like I did last week, a few reviews from our wonderful listeners who have contributed reviews to the iTunes store. Now we've switched over, we lost all our reviews in the past, so as you know, we need more reviews just to stay up there in the charts. So I just want to quickly read out two of them. Just to show we appreciate the feedback. Perfect for all. This is a great show for beginners all the way up to the pros. Carl and the team delivered the week's news with some fun along the way. And you never know, sometimes Ewan, Alex and Chris may agree on something.
I wasn't there then.
No, that's from Aaron Clayton.
Good man, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Now, will you agree today? That'll be the question.
Mm.
We shall see.
We shall see.
Also, from Mr. Stephen Confrey. Snap it up. It's great. Great podcast for all grace photographers. Get lots of really good hints and tips from a couple of P for professional photographers, as well as other interesting guests. All the latest news from the photography world, as well as questions from the listeners.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Convery.
Very good.
Super. No, everyone's been really great. We've got tons of reviews. We're doing really well in iTunes at the moment. The Photo Show was in there in the top 20 for quite a while. Mac's still number one in the UK store. So thanks, everyone.
Brilliant. Thank you indeed.
Even with crap audio from Seville.
But we got I got a bit of paper. I can't put it over. You want to see the mic? Need a bit of toilet paper over that mic.
Okay. Is that better?
So moving on to the news, shall we? This week, Olympus admits smartphones pose a new threat to them. After intense competition from smartphones, Olympus has admitted it may be forced to have a major shake-up. The company's new president, Hiroyuki Sasa, was reported as saying, "We would like to narrow down our imaging business portfolio." However, later, a spokesperson for the company also said, "It has not been decided to reform the Olympus product lineup at the moment." How serious a threat do you think modern-day smartphones are to the camera business? And do you see more companies feeling the smartphone pinch further down the line?
Well, they're like a meteorite about to strike the middle of Mexico, creating a six-mile-wide plume of dust that eradicates all life on Earth, because just like everyone else, Olympus are a bunch of dinosaurs. I mean, it's taken them 2 years to come out with a statement that most compact camera makers came out with 2 years ago. They realized the threat of the smartphone was there, and they started to react to it. And 2 years on now, we've got stuff that's starting to emerge. What have Olympus said? Yeah, it's a real threat, but we're not going to do anything to our cameras.
No.
That's ostrich management, mate. Tell me I'm wrong. Let's all agree to start with.
You're wrong.
Okay. Tell me why I'm wrong, Chris.
No, I 100%. I mean, 100%. I mean, you're right. This threat has been a long time coming. And I think any camera manufacturer who wasn't acknowledging this when the fact that the iPhone has been like the top camera on Flickr for the last year and a half, they're boneheads.
Alex, anything to add?
Yes. Now, what I would say is, going back to the argument I made a little while ago, and I think people even slightly agreed or disagree with me too loudly. Yes, the market is changing. And yes, there's no need for the 700 different versions of the same camera that most companies make. But they want to do the two things. They want to do the thing that Ewan espouses, and that's to make them more smartphone usable, e.g. they'll have applications in them. They will be able to go up to Flickr.
Connectivity,
Or an alternative to Instagram, you know, one of those things. But also, I maintain there's a lot of people in photography now, or into photography, that have come to it because of owning a smartphone. So maybe not all of them, but a lot of people that own, you know, people that had compact cameras may have got rid of them and used a smartphone, but I reckon a similar number of people have got into photography because they'd never had a camera until they got a smartphone. So I think it's sort of maybe not half and half, but the numbers aren't so terrible. So, you know, it gives with one and takes with another. But the thing is, the camera manufacturers need to bring out two or three very good value cameras with a lot of the usability that smartphones have, and then they can stop worrying
but,
so much.
But here's my point, Alex. If you, I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying there, but you're saying what's given with one and taken with the other is fine, but have people been giving any business to Olympus? They've been giving business to the companies that have innovated, that have gone with Bridge, that have gone with Four Thirds, you know, Micro Four Thirds, the ones that have taken innovation and led with it. And even though they haven't made the whole leap towards what I've been suggesting, they've started to clearly show a progression. They've shown innovation. Olympus have done nothing.
Oh, that's not fair. Olympus has led the charge on Micro Four Thirds.
Pen.
Well, you say they've led the charge on Micro Four Thirds, Chris, but I mean, I really haven't seen that, to be honest. I mean, the pen's all well and good, but it's not. I don't think it's that stunning a camera. I think it's overpriced. People haven't bought it in their droves because of that, and I can't see that they have led the innovation. They've gone with stuff that's a great sensor, fine, it takes a nice picture, well done, but it doesn't do anything to lead innovation technologically. It's just a camera. It's just a nice camera. It's a very good camera, but that's all it is, surely.
Well, I guess what I'm curious is what would it take for the innovation to satisfy whatever it is that you're looking for? I'm just not clear what it is exactly.
Well,
you want to see.
Well, here we go. I mean, the story is clearly about innovation being or the smartphone market threatening the compact market. So what have Olympus done that they haven't recognized it for 2 years, but what have they done in the last 2 years to stave that off? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Well, they've done what they did before. They made a camera. They made a better camera. They charged a lot of money for a camera. They've not innovated.
So Olympus have had a quite tumultuous time recently. I think they got rid of all their board of directors, didn't they, not too long ago?
Yep. Yeah, they were slightly in trouble. You're right.
There was a CEO or president or something.
That's right. There was a big shake-up at the top. So bearing that in mind, everything you guys have just said, if you was all elected to the board of directors tomorrow, what would be the first things you decided to change to move the company forward?
Personally, I would do what Ewan says, and I'd make a pen type camera, which is Android based, because iOS or anyone will not allow that. An Android based pen camera, which is working on the principle that we're going to fight them at their own game. Because the best camera in the best smartphone is still a pile of rubbish compared to a pen camera. Mm. I mean, if you put it this way, without the pen camera, they'd see the writing on the wall.
Ooh, thank you for that.
I've been building
that
up for 10 minutes and it still didn't work.
Thank you, Alex.
Ewan, what would you do if you went into that board of directors tomorrow?
Well, the first thing I'd ask a question of everyone, and feel free to jump in with the first thing that comes to your idea. What makes Olympus a classic brand? Because it is a classic brand, I'll give it you that. It's just not in. It's not done a great deal. So, what made it a classic brand?
Well, they knew exactly how to advertise, and they knew how to make, you know, very good cameras in their day. Right. But they did. They advertised. They were the people. They were probably the Apple of advertising in their day.
It's always been about they had David Bailey, which always really helped. B, they knew how to innovate because they had the ability to make cameras that did an awful lot more. They also then relied on build quality. build quality was a huge part for them, and they haven't impressed upon that. They've started making cheap, tacky cameras. You look at the one that's behind me here on the screen, it looks like a doorstop, or it looks like something that my kid would get out of a box of cornflakes. They haven't gone with that solidity and reliability, and the only one that they've done it with is the Pen, and they outpriced themselves on the Pen, because they were always very, very affordable cameras.
I got to use the XZ1. That was a pretty nice camera.
Price?
I honestly have no idea. Price. What would I know, price? But it's a...
No, it's not.
See, no? I don't know if... I don't know if Chris is back, but I don't know if it's 100% a price issue, because if you look at a camera company that's going from strength to strength, Fuji, what they're doing, that's terrible English. Spent too long with Carl.
It's fine in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I know. Oh, thank you. What they're doing, they are making really high-end, but really, really good quality, compact to bridge cameras.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily financial, but what Olympus's problem is, they're making a pretty decent camera, but not earth-shattering, but they're still trying to charge Fuji-type prices. So what they basically need to do is find a way of bringing their costs down. Yeah, basically taking a risk. They've got to bring their costs down and add a little bit of innovation, because their starting point is a hell of a lot higher than Fuji's ever were. So it's a shame, because they're doing a Kodak, if you like. They're taking a really, really strong place in the market and just sitting on their laurels and waiting for everyone else to take it away from them. I mean, this is the first thing, isn't it? It's the admitting you've got a problem. So they've come out, they said they've got a problem, now they've got to resolve it.
Hi, my name's Olympus and I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah. I want to know why a Japanese company is named after a mountain in Athens. In Greece. But that's just aside.
There's some points in the chat room here. Russ says, who would buy a Pen where you can buy something better for the same price or lower? And you can. You can buy equally good or better cameras for less money, and quite a bit less money. 10X in the chat room saying, all you need is an iFi card and you've got uploadability while you're there, while you're shooting. Well, that only gives you uploadability back to your computer. I'm not aware that iFi have done anything to the web as yet. So, but if they came out with something that did web apps with it, but then you probably got your front end and that kind of thing. I think the thing that's going to kill cameras as well is that ability to sign on to Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi. You've got to give over your address, you've got to give over your details, you've got to create a password, etc. And as long as that's there, it's going to be ridiculous. You're going to have to do it through your own Mi-Fi if it's going to be really worthwhile, and then it's another gadget to carry around, or there's got to be a Mi-Fi built in with a data plan. I think as soon as they get a 3G card in a camera, or a 4G card in a camera, that's the key part. That's when it really starts to take off.
There is sort of a workaround you can do with the iFi cards, because it has some ability to upload directly to certain
right.
services like Flickr. So I guess if you're using that with, you know, a MiFi, I guess in your pocket or something, that's kind of, but it's still a workaround. It's a kludge. I mean, it's not. I think you're right. It needs to be built in.
It's not in innate.
No,
it's frozen. He's back. Well, he's frozen.
Maybe what Olympus needs to do is create a photo-taking application on the iOS platform, and then they could maybe sell it to Facebook for the form of $1
billion. $1 billion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously this is the story about Facebook buying Instagram for a measly $1 billion. Instagram boasts 30 million iOS users last week, and since it came out on Android also last week, 24 hours, it amassed another 1 million users as well. Are you stunned that Facebook thought Instagram was worth this amount of money? And why do you think Mark Zuckerberg set his sights on this company?
Oh, what's happened to you?
Why did he set his sights on this company? But I think part of the value in Instagram is the fact that they were really able to capture users. Instagram was hugely popular, even though it was only available on the iPhone for like 2 years, I think, the mm-hmm. first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of the value is the fact that Instagram appeals to users, to a wide variety of users. Not for everyone, not naming names, but you know, it really appeals to a wide swath of users. Despite its, you know, even though the iPhone is like the number one smartphone, there's still, if you combine all the Android phones together, it still outsells the iPhone.
Mm.
So, you know, it started out with a fairly limited audience, but was still able to attract a lot of popularity. And when it finally did drop on Android, everybody downloaded it like crazy. So I think that has a lot of value to Facebook, because their whole, you know, their whole point is trying to capture more users, to attract more users, and that, you know, makes their advertising or their social graph or whatever else they're trying to do more valuable to them.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think they're capturing the same users though? Because if you've got Facebook, haven't you got Instagram as well? I mean, a large percentage surely have.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting. Someone was talking about the fact that, or they were talking about, you know, how so many people post images to Facebook. It's like that's where they put their pictures, is on Facebook. And I was thinking about it, and I realized before I started using Instagram, I hardly ever put pictures on Facebook. Occasionally, once in a while, I put a picture on there. But now that I had Instagram, all I had to do was tap a button, and whatever picture I was already uploading to Instagram and to Flickr and to Twitter was also going to Facebook.
Mm.
So I started uploading many more pictures to Facebook that way. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's something to do with it too, that they're, you know, for whatever reasons, there are people who aren't sharing their pictures on Facebook. Maybe this is a way to help, you know, increase that sharing.
Good bang. So Alex, I know you don't use Instagram, but were you shocked by the amount of money that they offered?
Well, first of all, never shocked by an amount of money. Not when you're talking about these companies, because $1 billion it's chicken feed. It means nothing. And you've got to remember, the majority of this, they're going to be paying them with something else that doesn't exist, which is a value in Facebook. So you're giving away a small percentage of a value of something that doesn't exist. It's not so difficult. But what I think is Zuckerberg, what he's done, he's looked at, I don't know, you've got however many people use iPhones, and you've got a really large percentage of those using an application that he can get his hands on. Now, it's then been open up to Android, and he's just, well, I think they knew that it was going to go viral, if you like, as soon as Android opened. But what it will do, it will enable, a lot of people put pictures on Facebook, and they're absolute rubbish, but it's just somewhere they're learning to store their pictures. And the only reason Facebook want you to store their pictures, because every time you go onto Facebook, there's an advertising opportunity, there's a revenue development. Now, if you can get Instagram or the people that like Instagram, but you can then open that up to, how many people have Facebook got? 800 million or something?
Mm.
If you can then offer 800 million people this thing that is obviously very good, because there's an awful lot of people that like it already, then it's going to get used. It's not a matter of how many people are already on Instagram. It's a matter of how many people on Facebook have now got access to Instagram or have never heard of Instagram. It's something that will take off dramatically. And if they play this right, I know it's going to be sort of messed about with pictures, but all those crappy pictures that go on Facebook, this thing can de-crappiness a little bit, you know? So they may be, it might help Facebook turn into an alternative to Flickr, whereas Flickr tends to be pictures that are better taken and people that are actually into photography.
You say this that might, though, Alex, but Barry Collins, who comes on the network, works for PC Pro Magazine, he sent a picture out last night saying, here's a rare sight, a Gatwick Express actually moving. And it was a picture of two seats on the opposite side of the aisle from him. And I don't know what filter he got on it, but it would have been an utterly crap picture without the filter on it. I mean, it wasn't
a
brilliant picture, but it looked stylized. It was interesting. It made me want to watch it, you know, and it was a crap picture of two seats on the opposite side of a carriage.
What you're doing is you're agreeing with me. I know it's hard for you to believe, but you are.
I can't even believe that I'm agreeing with you, Alex.
No, but what I'm saying is you've got this captured audience on Facebook taking really crap pictures, and now you're saying, here you go, here's a bit of free software that we've paid $1 billion for, so aren't we wonderful to give you this for nothing? that you can make your really crappy pictures look as good as the guy that took pictures of two chairs. So what you're doing is you're offering them something for nothing, but people are going to be more inclined now to get involved with Facebook pictures. It's now going to be somewhere that they're actually going to want to show. Whereas before you put 100 pictures of the same party up, people are actually going to want to show because it's going to actually make their pictures look okay. You're going to get people interested in Facebook pictures. And that way they could, with Instagram and Facebook, they probably could get more throughput than even Flickr.
Mm. Ewan, I know you spoke.
It's worth the money. I really do.
Ewan, I know you spoke about Instagram, the situation on Big Show last night, but do you think some people, some users of Instagram are going to go, right, I'm not having anything to do with Facebook. I'm out of here and gone.
I think a lot have. I think there's quite a few gone. James Hart says he went last night. He just cancelled his Instagram account instantly. But I think that's kind of stupid on the basis that, that Facebook got all of your pictures anyway. In a lot of cases with Instagram, it wasn't, you know, people weren't choosing not to send to there. It was kind of one of those things, they just filled out their details. It's a teens thing. I mean, 10X in the chat room saying that a sociology lecturer he knows is saying that Facebook is predominantly teens to 20s and women over 40. And that's probably true. So, you know, the teens to 20s have got smartphones, have got Instagram now. Now it's gone to Android. It's a huge opportunity for them to get more users by default, and then they'll post more images. Therefore, I think the one place I can't see that Facebook has bought this because they feel like they're threatened by it. I just don't buy that. What I do buy is the fact that I think Flickr is the one that's probably losing out badly to Instagram over time, and they should be the ones that feel more threatened. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Instagram monetized akin to Flickr. So you'll get a Facebook page, there'll be a sidelined Instagram page, you pay $25 a year and you can store your photos there as much as you want, and you can put them up from anything, maybe. But I don't see a business model at the moment that's apparent that Facebook can get $1 billion back. And to be fair, it is stock options, a lot of it, so it's not all cash. So you know, it's a notional price.
Oh well, we'll see when Facebook floats, see how much it's actually worth. If anyone does want to like get out of Instagram and look for alternatives, you can try things like Hipstamatic, Snapseed, Pixelmatic, PicPlease, Hipster Camera Plus, Adobe Photoshop Express 2, and I think Flickr itself. You've all got little apps that you can apply filters and whatnot on. So if you want to get out. moving on, this we missed this story last week, but Chinese officials announced it has busted a camera smuggling operation and arrested 14 suspects connected with trafficking equipment across the border worth $63.1 million. The ring had apparently smuggled 60,204 cameras, 13,623 lenses, 483 flashes, 1,025 video cameras, 348 projectors, and a partridge in a pear tree as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, Hong Kong prices are between 20 and 30% cheaper than mainland China. Do you think this kind of operation is widespread? And wouldn't you like to have got your hands on some of that gear after it's confiscated?
We should have a caption competition for this picture. Two Chinese blokes sitting looking over the top of this thing. And, you know, it's like one's going, I'll tell you what, Ron, that's coming home with me. Or, do you think this does macro? Yeah, we need it. There we go. Caption competition. We'll give away something.
Where's the peace setting?
Yeah, where's the peace setting? It's a lot of camera stuff.
It is. Have you got one of the other pictures there, Ewan? Because, sorry for anyone on audio. The one where it's all laid out on the floor.
I did have, hang on. Yeah, there's the. I mean, it's all laid out by lenses as well, isn't it? It's not... Mm-hmm. It's not the... It's not been done by... There we go. It's a huge amount, and it's good quality bodies and pro level lenses.
That is an impressive picture.
It is.
Do you think this sort of thing's widespread then? This sort of smuggling. I mean, cameras. I never even considered people smuggling cameras.
Well, there's not many items, you know, electronically, other than maybe an iPad or an iPhone. But you know, you're talking about something small with something with very small with a, you know, a very good intrinsic profit. You know, if you can make 30% plus just smuggling through a tiny, I mean, how big's a lens? You know, everything they've got here would have fitted in the back of a Luton van, you know, and you could have made Well, 63.5 million. You could have made 10 million on that.
Do you mean a Bedford van?
Bedford? What did I say?
Luton. Luton van, yeah.
Yeah, Luton body.
Luton. I don't know, whatever. Until I'm not a van driver. I'm not afraid. I've given it away now. Anyway, you could fit it in the back of the van. So, you know, as it goes, it's not... I think it does explain why there's a big shortage of camera equipment at the moment, if nothing else.
Yeah, because everyone's nicked it.
Chris, what do you think? You've been a bit quiet on this story.
Well, I personally don't find it that surprising at all. I worked at a camera shop for 9 years, and we, you know, we had to deal with gray market products all the time. And, you know, the fact is, and this is true, I mean, this is true of camera manufacturers, this is true of Apple, this is true of just about any company. In different markets, price their products differently for a lot of different reasons.
No, it won't.
Nope.
That's what you get for Wi-Fi connection. Never know. Badly. I think the thing that we've got with this is the fact that straight away, this highlights one of the deficiencies that the camera market's got over the cell phone market again, because if these were cell phones, they'd have been deactivated within seconds of leaving the factory. Mm-hmm. Because these are cameras, they are instantly, they're probably one of the last smuggleable commodities, because lots of people travel with cameras. No one ever gets a camera out and suspects that it's got to look at the serial number to see whether it's faulty or stolen, or, you know, customs aren't looking for this kind of stuff. That even if they know it's coming, they're looking for a big van full of the stuff, but they're not looking for this thing. So it's like I said, it's the last smuggling electronic that's out there at the moment, I think.
I wonder if they bought it across all in one go, or they did it piecemeal.
Well, just so a guy comes over with a lens, and then he goes back, and the bloke says, "I reckon he's stealing camera bags," and he's not doing it. Yeah,
he's not really stealing it though, is it? They're buying it in Hong Kong, and they're just taking it to China and not paying the tax.
Right.
So, it's stealing from China, sort of, government, but it's not.
I'm a little bit confused because, unless my history's got a bit mixed up, didn't we, I say we give it back, didn't China take back control of Hong Kong some time ago now?
Yeah.
Isn't it actually part of China?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but didn't they leave certain trading things in place?
There's a transition. There's a free market still there because there's a lot of banking, so they can't take it completely.
Semi-autonomous. There you go. Good word in the chat room there.
Thank you. A competition for Smuggle Mug would be a good question for the thing. A Smug Mug. We've also got a couple of statements. Where is it? Jesus, look who's what they've been filming with this. What does this button do? Yes, but can we make them topple?
Can anyone find a charger?
Very good.
Yeah, imagine trying to charge up all those Nikon.
Peter asked Teresa Hummel what she used before posterous, and she said Smug Mug, so he said that's pre-posterous.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Getting back to Olympus. Olympus unveils the VH210. Available now for just £79. The VH210 boasts 14 megapixel, 5x wide optical zoom lens, digital image stabilization, autofocus tracking, and shadow adjustment technology to improve exposure for pictures in dark areas. The camera also has a number of creative settings, including my favorite, which is beauty mode, which apparently makes skin appear brighter, smoother, and more youthful.
So they've branched out into beauty creams now.
Only so.
Well, you can buy them at Boots, the chemist.
You can get this at Boots, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe they just do it slightly out of focus and slightly overexposed.
Could be.
Because a lot of small compact Olympuses I had did that as standard.
Well, you and I have made a fortune out of that for years, mate.
No, don't worry about it.
It's also got built into a 3D photo mode using red and cyan, so you can create 3D anaglyph photos and view them with a pair of glasses included with the camera. You can also shoot in video at 720p. You think this is quite a bit of bang for your buck, or is this the type of camera that's probably going to fall when Olympus does their shake-up?
I think it's unfortunately one of those cameras that probably does have a great deal to offer. However, you're probably going to walk past it in a shop because it looks cheap and nasty. If they want to, I mean, it's £79, which is going to come out about $120. I think it's probably a very good camera to chuck at the kids and let them just go and have a play with it. Or one for someone who's a very, very amateur photographer, or someone who's, you know, at school and wants to take something to an away day. It's great. It probably takes a great picture, but you can get a Nikon Coolpix for the same amount or less. You can get some of the little Canons, will go back to that. Some of the old Ixuses you can get on eBay for £20 that'll do just as much. I think it's typical of Olympus. It's a sad camera that's probably very good underneath. Build quality is probably excellent, but it looks cheap and nasty and people are going to walk past it.
So you're not impressed?
I think as a camera, that's what I'm saying, is I'm not impressed with Olympus. Mm. I mean, I'm impressed with the camera and the specs that it's got. It looks quite good. It's got some innovation, very well done. And at £79, it's a good buy if you're going to do those things with it. But because of its bright orange, luminescent green, black, the black will probably sell, the white might sell, the purple one and the green one and the orange one I think aren't going to sell at all. And you'd walk past it if you saw a range of colours like that across a stand. You know, if they said, you know, if they had something that was manufactured to be pen-like looking, it's only a case change, for God's sake, and they did this, people would buy it. But it's not. They've gone for this cheapy, jazzy end of the market because they think that people that want cheap cameras want cheap, crap-looking cameras, and they don't. They just want a cheap, quality camera. So they're losing again, where they've probably got really good build quality. They're not impressing on that. They're not taking that advantage.
What do you think, Alex? Do you ever recommend this camera to someone who's just thinking about getting into photography, or would you just tell them to steer clear?
You know, if someone wanted a cheap, I mean, for instance, you're going on holiday very soon and you wanted a cheap compact camera, well, you're not going to do an awful lot better for £80.
No.
But I'll tell you something, this goes back to the last longer argument we had about Olympus. Now, if it was slightly less, basically stupid looking, right, if it had a Sony type look, which is flat, sleek, very nice, Apple-esque, if you like, right, now if that said, just as an argument, if that said Apple on it, or iCamera, I don't care what you call it, right, and it was an Apple for £80, if it did a quarter of this, it'd be flying off the shelves and you wouldn't be able to get one for a year. You'd have to pre-order it. Okay,
yeah.
Now the quality is there. What it does is there, and it goes back to what we said, is Olympus have buggered up what they had. Olympus was the Apple of its day when it came to cameras. If it had an Olympus sticker on it, it would have flown off the shelf because they had built up the name. They had built up everything you needed to build up a great camera. I mean, Nikon and Canon, I don't think Nikon and Canon had anything on Olympus at the time. But it just shows what they've done to themselves. They've built, the inside of this camera is worth more than £80, okay? In today's market, I'm amazed you can buy this for £80.
Mm.
But because it's got Olympus on it, and it looks so awful, it's not going to sell. And that is the problem. A little bit of thought into not making one of these sort of pretty little looking kids' cameras. Charge £100 for it with a little bit of design in it. Don't mess up the name Olympus, and this would have been a number one seller. Everything on it is worthy of a good price. Everything on it is worthy of buying. Mm-hmm. It's got everything we're saying. It's got these magic filters. It's got IFI compatibility. Okay, they can go further. They can, when someone works out how to put Android in and all the rest of it, it'll all be even better. But this is a really, really good camera for the price. It looks cheap, which it doesn't need to. It's just they've gone for that market. It is cheap and it's well worth the money, but they've messed up their name. And that's a real, real pity. Really is a pity. Because if it, like I say, if it said Apple on it and it didn't look like a pile of crap, you wouldn't be able to order one for a year. You wouldn't get your hands on one. Not for that money. You wouldn't get anywhere near it.
Mm. Oh, dear. Chris, anything to add?
Yeah, I think the real problem is, and it's a problem really with all camera companies, but they have too many models. There's too many.
Mm.
No customer can make any sense of all the, like, 300 different slightly variable, you know, one little variable change. This one's 12 megapixel, this one's 13. It looks exactly the same. No one can make sense of that garbage. No one. Ridiculous. It was such a pain in the
proverbial
neck to sell cameras. I mean, digital cameras are already technically complex. You know, they're already too much for most people as it is. The fact that it's a digital camera. I mean, I think so many cameras have too many buttons, too many menu options, just too many different models, and it's an overload for most consumers. It's just an utter overload. You know, I think Olympus would be doing itself a service if it looked at its 30 different camera models and said, okay, we're going to break this down to 5. Pick the 5 best ones in our line and just sell those. Sell the crap out of them.
Just keep it simple.
You know? Yeah. I mean that has been Apple's whole modus operandi for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. Is, you know, they had like 100 different Performa and the Quadra and 867920 and they came in and like, all right, we're gonna have an iMac and we're gonna have the Power Mac and we're gonna have a MacBook and that's it. Screw the rest of this crap. And it worked. Anyone who tries to say it didn't work is crazy because they're the most valuable company on the planet now.
So, with the rumors of them maybe bringing out, this is Apple, bringing out a TV later this year, what do you think they'll ever turn their attentions to cameras and not cameras in their phones? I mean, a dedicated camera.
No.
No, I see not.
I don't.
I don't see that.
No.
Well, I think they've put too much effort into the camera in their phones. I mean, let's not forget that the digital market, one of the first players in the digital market was Apple. Apple brought out 3 digital cameras in the early days.
100, 200, and 400, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100, 200, 400. They were really, really worked hard on the name, I know. I don't think they might do. The only, you know what, say you talk about this Olympus, you know what would save Olympus or this camera? Let Facebook buy them for $1 billion or whatever it's worth, right? And then stick a Facebook Instagram label on it and actually make the thing instantly upload to Facebook / Instagram with the ability to have an on-screen, stick your filters on before it uploads. Then you will sell these in the trillions.
Wait a year and you'll get Olympus for $1 plus debts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This camera, with what it's got, Facebook, Olympus, Facebook, Instagram integration via the Wi-Fi compatibility as a built-in function, label it Facebook. And even though it might not be the best thing in the market, billions of people will buy the damn camera because it's a one-stop shop. Someone that needs to say to Zuckerberg, here, have our company, you can take on the whole of the camera market in one go, because that's where it's going.
Mm. Turning into a Facegram.
Facegram.
That's it.
Instabook.
Okay, moving on. Let's move over to Canon for a moment. Canon introduced the EOS 1DC digital SLR camera featuring 4K resolution video capturing. Have a spare $15,000 hanging around? Well, you could invest in this new addition to Canon's EOS lineup with a 18.1 megapixel full frame 24mm 36mm Canon CMOS sensor. It can record 8-bit 422 motion JPEG 4K. I have no idea what that is, by the way, I'm afraid.
Good 24
frames per second, or you can do 1080p at selectable frame rates between 24 and 60. Although this is a flagship type model, I believe, isn't it? Would you say?
Top end, I would say, yes.
There you go.
Slightly top end, yeah.
Do you think that 4K will be the target manufacturers will now be aiming for next? And how quickly do you think it will be until prices start to drop and you'll find 4K technology in more affordable cameras?
Well, the sensors are there already. I mean, it's not a different sensor. It's just the electronics being able to handle that amount of information. I mean, your 14 megapixel Olympus has got enough information to produce a 4K file. What's 4096-2160? It's about a 8 megapixel camera. It's not a lot. It's just being able to do that at 50 frames a second.
To be fair, those pixels are moving, Alex.
No, that's what I'm saying, but the capture is there. It's not a great big thing.
The image size is good, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not... All these cameras, what happens needs to happen now if you want it to come down, you know, price-wise into other models. What happens now is not the high megapixel count. It's the electronics in the camera being able to do it quickly enough and not compress it. I mean, what's nice about this, it's compressing, but it's not compressing it to the nth degree. You've still got a good quality image video coming out of it. You could get, I don't know, you could get some point and shoot to record this many pixels, but it'd have to compress it to a point where it would look terrible. I mean, I like this camera. I've never seen a camera with so many buttons and so many bits and pieces. I'd love one of those. You turned up with a customer with this, they'd just say, it's worth every penny. Whatever you're going to do, you could do passport pictures with this. They'd pay you 50 quid a shot.
Willie's Web in the chat room has said, that this is two different cameras on the picture. And yes, it is. The one on the right is a pure video camera. The one on the left is a stills and video camera. So there's a definite separation between the two.
Yeah, the one on the right, I think, looks to me like the C300 that they showed off at CES.
Yeah, it's the big high end, lovely thing. But the other one is the SLR that takes 4K as well, which is nice.
Yeah, it's basically just sort of a special modified version of the 1DX that has been delayed yet again. But what's interesting about this 4K video, I remember this very specifically because I wrote a little bit about it. And this is back in 2009. And there have been 4K digital cinema cameras for even in 2009, they've been around a couple of years. And if you go into a nice cinema or a nice theater that shows a digital projection, they'll have a 4K projector. And it looks quite amazing. And what I was talking about at the time was the fact that Red was, you know, building some devices for 4K playback and things like this. And we were talking about how, you know, eventually what's going to happen is 4K is going to work its way into the home. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you people said I was straight out crazy. They're like, you're an idiot. Insane.
No.
HD is good enough, blah, 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 blah. And I'm telling you what I saw at CES, I saw an 80-inch Toshiba 4K screen, and I'm sorry, but it's better. So it's going to happen.
I'd rather they concentrate on 4K rather than 3D, I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, no, that exactly. Seconded.
Agreed.
No question.
I'm not agreeing because I don't want everyone to say we agreed again.
Well,
I wasn't listening anyway. It's all right.
Just to point out, someone's sent in the chat room a picture of an Apple Quick Take. There we go. And that picture was taken. It's a 200, and that picture was taken at 640x480 in 1994. That's not bad for 1994.
Yeah. Was it black and white or color? I remember color. I worked at Kinko's, and we had one you could rent.
Yeah, no, it was color. 1994. There you go.
I think the QuickTake 100 was black and white only.
Mm. Well, as Chris just mentioned there, the Canon EOS 1DX has again been delayed, apparently by another 2 months. So if anyone's out
Sorry, Carl, before you move on, can I just make a quick point about the DSLR movie thing?
Yep.
One of the things that they've got to do, which they clearly aren't doing, they're leaving it up to the third-party markets to do it, is that they've got to provide something that's going to help the filmmaker to stabilize and move the shot that they've got. I've lost the bloody picture now, unfortunately. Hang on a sec. There's a new device out today that's come out from a firm, and that's this thing, the Handy Mini, and it's a device that shoves onto your battery pack out the back of your Canon or your Nikon. And it allows it to have almost like a camcorder type feel, then with controls and so on, integrates through your existing control interfaces. And that's what's got to happen. There has to be something come along that makes the DSLR capable of being turned into a more stable video camera, because holding a camera, a DSLR, the way that you would for a stills picture is not stable enough for video by any stroke of the imagination. The up and down and lateral movement is just not there. You've got to have it on a tripod. You've got to have it on a monopod as a minimum, And even then on a monopod, it's poor. So handheld stuff would really, really help the market and bounce back. And the manufacturers aren't doing it. They're leaving it all up to the third-party market, which I think is a negative.
I disagree, because that third-party market's been there for a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Not just for SLRs, but, you know, for video cameras and
Agreed.
Cinema cameras and stuff. So
no, but my point is, Chris, that the manufacturers are leaving everything up to the third-party market instead of coming in with some stuff of their own that's clearly purpose-built. Which I'm surprised they've not done, because that is usually their way.
Yeah, no, but the reason they're doing that is, if you think about all the peripherals you've ever bought third party for a camera, I mean, I must have bought, say I've bought 100 of them, I might still use two because if they'd all seem like they are the perfect thing to have in a drawer that all seemed like a good idea at the time. And the camera manufacturers are sitting there going, you know, like, we'll wait for someone else to invent the thing that actually works. And then we'll buy it off them.
Yeah,
but I mean, we're not going to manufacture 200 fingers that people are going to remember, that 199 that were rubbish. Let someone else do that, and then we'll come in with a big thing at the end.
Well, the one thing I would say, though, Alex, is that I bought a 600D, and I've been having a go with the video on it. Shoots 1080p, shoots great quality 1080p video, even in low light. I've been using my lenses to get depth of field, and I've not done anything that I want to publish yet, because it's not good enough. And one of the reasons I think it's not good enough is not because I'm a crap videographer, because I'm not an experienced videographer. It's the fact that stabilizing the camera, you either have to go to this full static setup with a tripod. Monopod really doesn't cut it for stability. It's still wobbling all over the place, and handheld's just pointless. It's got to have something that's
Why I think it is because in the old days when we had mediocre cameras, the fact that it had camera shake and everything, the picture wasn't good enough to really warrant doing anything better. But now we've got something that, if you're in the right lighting conditions, looks as good as DVD Blu-ray film quality, as long as you've got good lighting conditions. You're now seeing all the imperfections that in the old days you really didn't care about, because of all you could hear was, when you videoed your kids at the sports day, was the wind blowing past the microphone. you were shaking anyway, everyone's screaming, and you missed the race anyway.
But I've gone
it
to
didn't
the,
matter but I've now gone, it does.
I've gone to the point, one of the places that I go and work has got a welding shop, and I've got to the point now where I've bought, it hasn't arrived yet, but I bought an old steering wheel that's 16 inches in diameter off eBay, and I'm going to get them to make me a little mount so that I can set the balance of the lens perfectly, and I'm going to try and do something with a big something that I can hold and move around that just gives me that bit of extra stability, because it's so frustrating. There's nothing out there that's at a reasonable price. It's all, I mean, there's Steadicam setups and stuff for DSLRs, but you're $2,000 to $4,000, just pointless.
Ridiculous.
I can't wait to see what you look like walking around with a steering wheel.
I nearly had to buy the car to get it off.
I think I almost think that part of the issue is the fact that if you think about, just go back to camcorders, using a compact camcorder, I'm willing to bet that the footage isn't any worse than what you would get as far as stability and those kind of things with a compact camcorder. The fact is, I think that you are seeing a lot of sample videos of people using, you know, effectively the same kind of rigs they would use if they were using a real film camera to shoot a movie. And you're seeing that sample, and then you're frustrated that the kind of footage that you're getting doesn't match that. And the fact is, I mean, you need a tripod and a dolly and racks and rails and all kinds of stuff that they're using to do that, to be able to achieve those results. I almost feel like that it sounds to me like, when, you know, I would get customers in and we're like, I got this camera and I went to take pictures at my daughter's volleyball game. It doesn't look as good as, you know, the guy they hired to come out and do real pictures. I'm like, well, of course it doesn't, because you don't have this great big giant lens. You don't have a tripod or monopod. It's not just the experience that you need and the being comfortable with composition, but I mean, there's just a fact that if you're not using the same tools, you can't expect the same results.
Having been an ergonomist before in another life, I can guarantee you that palms down throws the elbows out, and palms up throws the elbows in, and also then if you have this kind of position with your hands close to your head, that brings elbows in a more natural position. Well, if you're talking about using a DSLR, you're talking about the hands now having to rotate forwards to get the elbows in, and that rotation forwards naturally decreases vertical stability, whereas with the hands in a neutral position for the wrist, that clamping motion that you get with a video camera is naturally an ability to hold the elbows in and gain some more stability. I'm going to agree with you totally that it's not perhaps the perfect position, and it's, you know, there is a certain amount of, I look at what's been made and I'm not making it as good, but I think some of it is my knowledge of the fact that I know I can't hold a DSLR steady for long periods like this. It's perfect for throw it up and shoot, but it's no good for having it for video, and that's what's got to change.
Well, can I just make one last suggestion? Right, if they're bringing out the ability to have 4K, and what we're talking about here, we're talking HD, which is, I don't know, half of 4K. What we could do with, in the meantime, is a slightly more of the sensor being used. E.g., they use 1920, so well, let's use 2,500 of the sensor.
I've just got it in my head, Alex, that you're going to say, now we've got 4K, let's do 1080p with a built-in stabilizer.
There you go.
That's exactly what he's going to say.
Why not? You can electronically stabilize to about 50% of the image. Why is that funny? If I knew why it was funny, I'd join in.
It's a good idea,
But what I'm saying is, if you're using a DSLR, you're only using a very small part of the sensor to capture the image. You're only using half the sensor.
You've got loads around the outside to compensate.
You've got loads to do the electronic image stabilizing with.
That entirely depends on how the camera is set up, because this 1DC uses the full frame.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you've got something like the 600D, then use more of the megapixel to capture the image and use the crop to stabilize to sort out so many of the problems.
Is that like shooting it for the darkroom or shooting it for Photoshop?
Well, it's the best you're going to get out
shooting
of
it for the image that clearly identifies you and me as crap videographers who need something to help us do it properly, which is everything that we spit at for everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. But we're not videographers. Let them have their podcast and then they can badmouth us.
Moving on before me competent shows.
Just as Chris mentioned a little while back, the 1D from Canon has in fact been delayed again. It will now go on sale until mid-June. When asked, they said there was a delay to the start of mass production.
Oh, well.
So anyone's waiting, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, I'm afraid.
Could be anything.
Busy releasing these 1DC and C300 and getting out of the cinema wave.
So, goodbye. Last story, a toy company has released its very own mini Canon 5D Mark III. Called the Main Cam XL DSLR, the camera features 1.5-inch screen and can take a 5-megapixel photos with 4032 by 3024 resolution. It can also capture 720p video at 30 frames per second and has a 4x digital zoom. Currently just $185. Now, Alex, come on. I'm sure you're tempted by this.
Well, do you know what? I mean, Ewan's complaint is he's always worried about having to get new lenses, right? Now, I could go straight over to something that looks like Canon and never need to buy another lens. You know, I think this is a real goer.
Yeah, because it's cast out the same piece of plastic.
Exactly. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best Canon I'm ever likely to own. I think it's really very cute, actually, if that's the right word to use for a plastic molded piece of camera.
If only Action Man had an opposable thumb.
Oh, you know what? I bet this has got image stabilization. You wouldn't have any trouble holding this without getting tired.
No word on price.
Well, it is $185.
Holy crap, they saw you coming.
No, well, it is a lot. I didn't think it would be anywhere near that amount.
I'd rather buy an Olympus.
Whoa.
Moving on.
Which six things? Just one quickly this week. This week it's macro photography. Which six tips, tools, and tricks can you suggest to get the best from macro photography?
Ring light.
Bring light, lots of light, because your macro photography is desperate for light. It's going to shut down the lens terribly, so you need as much as you possibly can. And I've got to say, my quick tip is don't buy a macro lens. Buy macro tubes. Because when I had decent eyesight and I could focus manually, I got far better results with macro tubes than I ever got with purpose-built lenses. And they were $10 for a whole set of five that you just unclipped and clipped together. You're into manual focus, but they do a great job. And you can get ridiculously macro with them. You get microscopic almost with them. And you can just add to them and add to them, add to them. Buy two sets.
They cost nothing, don't they?
They're $10. They're nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
They're brilliant. And they are... If you're playing around with macro photography, do it properly. Don't buy a macro lens. Buy yourself some tubes. Get a little f1.8 50mm lens.
Get a bellows, for God's sake.
And shove it as far away as you possibly can and get tubes. Well, you can get a bellows if you want. It's up to you. But the macro tubes are $10 for five. You buy two of them and you've got a six-foot lens. It's this long.
We're all aware what 6 foot is. Right, I would say one of the things to remember with macro is your aperture. If you're coming into something very, very close, especially if you're, I don't know, in something on a flower, I mean, lots of people like bumblebees and insects and things like that. If it's sitting on something, if you're doing macro, you really need to lose the background as much as you possibly can, because what you want in focus is the impact of the picture. So don't forget to... I mean, depending on your shot, but open the lens up. Try and lose as much as the background. The depth of field is really, really important in macro photography. And the depth of field is in losing the depth of field. So remember to open it up. And also that, you know, that will help the speed of your macro shot anyway. It gets the more light in. But don't be afraid to literally just get the very front of an image it's strange because of your... enlarging something that you're not used to seeing in any detail, the sharper the actual point of detail you want, the better, but lose everything else as quickly as you can. And that actually helps to emphasize the sharpness and the macroness of the image. He's laughing at me again.
Macroness.
That's the best I've got.
Wasn't he one of the Greek gods?
He was. I think he jumped up.
Didn't he shag Dionysus?
I think he did something naughty.
There you go. There's a macro tube. Oh, and there's me twice. Macro tube. There you go. You get five of those for a tenner off eBay. And they're all properly solid made metal. They're beautiful. Come from China. And get 10 of those and go out in the garden and find something to take pictures of, and away you go. You'll love it. It'll be the best fun you have, and you'll get about 3 pictures out of 200. But they'll be worth it.
But, you know, macro should, if you can, and if you've got time, always shoot in manual anyway.
Yeah.
So whether you've got, having rings is not going to slow you down shooting in manual, because that's all it is anyway. And also, when you've got those rings, you can put them all over your desk, and when someone comes in, it looks like you've got loads more lenses than you actually have.
Pete in the chat room, are you sure it's China and not Hong Kong?
Depends if they were 30% cheaper.
No, I'm going to say the ones from Hong Kong cost less. Cost more.
Anything to add, Chris?
I was going to suggest also that, you know, you can get these little pop-out reflectors come in handy. And it, you know, again, getting a lighting close to your subject is just really tricky with, you've got the lens right on top of it. Mm-hmm. So there's an extremely good chance you're going to be blocking any natural light that might be around. So if you've seen these, they make some different sizes, but there's one that like folds up to about this big, and it comes in a little case, and you pull it out and pop it. It pops out to a much larger size, and you get different kind. You know, some have silver on one side and white on the other, or gold on one side or silver on one side, or there's some different variations you can get. But these little pop out reflectors are super handy.
Good.
Can I just add about, you know, we said lighting, but the thing is, don't use direct light if you can help it. If you're going to use a flash, in general, the flash is going to be right on top of what you want to shoot. So if you're going to use a flash, try and use not the flash built into your camera. Use one that's off so you can actually pull it further away. Ring flashes are very useful, quite expensive, but Ewan had a brilliant DIY ring flash for sort of $10 last year. And also, if you can get the flash that... they're like ring flashes, but they sit on the front of your lens, but they're actually on arms coming out from the side. They're very useful as well. And definitely, if you're going to use flash, use one that you can turn down. Because generally, if you're using flash in macro, you're going to burn out the image. You need to be able to lessen the light, but have full control over it.
Okay. Well, that's very good suggestions there. I mean, you can head out over the weekend again and try out some macro photography now with these tips.
I know.
Do it. Right, we have a question this week. Only one question, but we have a question. Dear British Tech, I bought my first shirt, Forest Green Photo, and now I want answers. I have a Sony NEX5N camera with kit lens, 18 to 55 millimeter, and some used manual lenses from eBay. A Minolta 35 f2.8 and a 50 f1.7 and a Pentax 55 f2. After purchasing the 250-ish millimeters, I was baffled because they seemed more like narrow zoom lenses than normal primes. I did some reading and learned that most consumer-grade cameras have crop sensors, which change characteristics of full-frame lenses. I basically have to use 28mm lens as a normal focal lens. My question is this. Each lens adapter combo seems to put the rear lens at different distances from the sensor. How does this affect image quality and crop factor? Next states a 1.5 crop factor for the sensor. Also, what is infinity focus? How can I tell if my different manual lenses can achieve infinity focus or not on my NEX5N? Lastly, I would like to buy a sharp 28 or 35mm lens, f1.4 or faster, $500 or less. I've been eyeing the Voigtlander.
Yeah, well,
Voigtlander. Nocton 35 1.4. Does anyone have a different recommendation? Nikon, Tamron, Sigma. I don't care manual focus or auto. The most important thing is low light ability and sharpness. Thanks, sorry to blather on. Brent 750.
Go on then.
So
who wants to go first?
Let's start with the crop factor thing, because the crop factor thing is basically that the focal length of your lens is not from the back of the lens, it's from the optical center. So wherever you've got your lens is split into a series of elements, and each of those elements helps to correct the image as the light passes through it. At the point that the light from above goes to below, that's the center of the lens, that's where it crosses and goes to the optical center. And then how far away that is, and let's go back to our macro thing, because what we're doing is, as we're moving the lens further and further away from the image sensor, what we're effectively doing is blowing up the size of what we're gathering on the sensor. Now, as this moves further away, you're going to get the optical center moves further away, you're going to get a bigger coverage on the sensor. Also, if the sensor's got smaller, it means that it's therefore going to be cropping the image that you're receiving through the lens. So that's all crop factor is. And 1.5 basically means that either the image sensor is 0.6 of the original size of a full frame 35mm sensor, or you're moving the distance 0.6 further. That's it. There's nothing else to it.
And it sounds to me like he's using lens adapters, which are in most cases usually almost like a short extension tube on its own, and then putting that on a crop sensor, so it's cropping even more than 1.5.
But if he's putting the 35 Minolta on, he's getting a 50. And if he's putting a 50 on, he's getting a 75.
Or more, is what I'm saying. Because that adapter is going to, you know, push the optical center out even further.
Yeah.
Maybe a millimeter or two, but it's still, it makes a difference. And...
Oh, no, it's not.
Is it gone again?
But basically, what he's saying there is, if you've got a ring that's an adapter that's probably only as thick as that silver ring there, but that physically moves the lens further away from the sensor, so an expansion of the image has to naturally occur. It can't not do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as the DX to D-sized lenses on Nikon. It's a 1.5, well, it's a magnification factor rather than a crop factor, isn't it? I mean, and this way around, I think we're talking. Because he's saying that he's getting a longer focal length than the lens itself is showing. Each one of these combinations is going to be slightly different. I imagine that, you know, 35mm, I mean, someone's going to complain about this, but I imagine that if something is set, whether it be Minolta, whoever it's made by, if it's a 35mm based lens, then the center point, the optical point, will be the same, but depending on the, like you say, the different type of whatever you call it, adapter you're going to use, is going to vary the amount that you're going to get the crop or the magnification. I don't know. I don't think there's any option. If you're going to use a lens that isn't designed to fit on your camera, it's going to adjust the optical length.
But if he's using an adapter, A, as Chris says, that's going to push that further away. But also, if the lens is manufactured for a 35mm full frame, that's going to be in there as well as. So that'll doubly cause the problem, as Chris says. It'll go even further still.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
No, I mean, and it's also why his lenses can't get infinity focus, because now, depending on the adapter, now the focus adjustment of the lens can't get that optical center to be at a point where it focuses on, you know, things that are very far away onto the sensor correctly.
It's the same problem. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the ultimate softness at the end of the lens. It's not going to be able to focus at that point.
Well, a lot of the old zoom lenses used to, the screw thread used to go beyond infinity. So as you turned it, the screw would allow it to go beyond the point that it was sharp. And it, you know, the infinity focus was basically out of focus coming back in the other direction, nothing more.
Yeah, because you used to be able to sort of, yeah, you did. You used to be able to adjust the lens to go past it, and then you could actually focus back again.
Yeah. Beyond infinity's bull. There isn't a beyond infinity.
No, I mean, it's just out of focus.
It's out of focus, that's all there is to it.
But you used to be able to do it, you used to over-focus it on one ring and then bring it back again.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
And what do you think, recommendation-wise, for the lens he was looking for?
Well, for that, from what I understand, from what he was saying about the lens, that lens is really, really good. I think the ones that they were comparing it to with, is it Summicron? Do one? And it's ridiculous. It's a couple of grand. And I looked at some test shots of I'm trying to find the name of it again, the Voigt one. And it's good. It's not as good, but it's good. I wouldn't spend $2,000 more to get the benefit that I saw. The bang for your buck is not there, for sure. Summicron, definitely Summicron was the one, but it's ridiculous. It's an absolutely ridiculous price.
I mean, what he's asking for, I mean, at 28 or 35 mil, so he's got to buy something which is non-adapted, because you're going to have to start off with a sort of an 18 mil to stand a chance if you're going to try and adapt it.
Mm.
You know, you got to buy. I don't know how many people make a Sony mount. I mean, I'm sure Tamron and Sigma do, but obviously, if you're going to buy a Nikon, you're going to have to adapt it. You know, so you've got to, I would personally go for something that makes the right mount for your camera. And, he really wants something 1.4 or faster. If you want 1.4, you're going to be paying for $500 is very cheap for a 1.4 of any caliber.
You can get the Voigtlander for that, though.
Okay, well,
that is the price.
That's a
good buy.
That's the best buy you're going to get by a long way. I mean, I would have imagined the next would be double the price.
Anything to add, Chris?
No.
Well, that's a nice summing up. Hope that answers your question, Brett. If you'd like to send us questions every week, we like to read out your questions and try and answer them as best as we can. Well, I don't. I just read them out. Poorly, granted, but I just try and read them out. We really do like to hear from you. So any feedback you can give us, fantastic. Questions, great. This show and every other show on the network is brought to you by UK2.net. Without them, it would not be possible for us to stay in the air. They have really helped us out just recently with all the extra shows that we're putting on, all the video downloads that we're doing. They are stars. You can services they offer at the moment. They have Facebook integration. If you do your hosting with UK2.net, you can host an iframe on Facebook. They have VPN services. Dedicated servers, and at the moment they have obviously Site Builder, where you can build your own site from 50 pre-designed templates. And they're having a competition as well at the moment, where you can win a new iPad. Just pop along and you see two sites designed by two different people. Just pick the best one and you're in chance of winning a brand new iPad. Can't be bad. If you purchase anything from them, you can use our offer code, which is BagelTech, and you'll get 15% off. And if you use Bagel DNS, they'll waive any transfer of DNS management charges. But are we getting this code to change soon?
The problem is that the guy at UK2 has just finished a master's, so he's been putting his dissertation in and that kind of thing. So he's been getting a bit of dispensation from work to go and do it. And as a result, nothing's got done. So we've had our server issues sorted and changed over and that kind of stuff, which has gone absolutely brilliantly. Thank you, Sarah. And thanks, UK2. But It just means that the back end stuff, like an offer code, is kind of way down on the list at the minute. But we'll get it done. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. I say they keep us on the air. So if you can thank us, you can thank us by thanking them. Much obliged. Gentlemen, where can we get hold of you? Chris?
Well, when my Comcast service is working, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Forsmack, or you can read my excellent award-winning writing on ArsTechnica.com.
Very Who good. Gave you an award? It was your mum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ewan, where can we get hold of you?
You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter if you want to follow just me. If you want to follow the network, we're at Bagel Tech News. Oh, no, we're not. We're at really? British Tech News. Oh, and you can follow us on the network at BritishTechNetwork.com.
And Alex?
You, if you would be kind enough to follow me, can get me and read my rubbish at Alex G. Fox on Twitter. I've been doing really well, thank you very much, lately. Lots of really lovely people have started to follow me, so fantastic. It's all working now. World domination. It's going to work.
It's kicking off.
Yeah, that's it.
My name's Carl Madden. You can follow me on Twitter at Claw0101. Hope you enjoyed the photo show. Stay safe, happy sapping. We'll see you next time.